May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Salatu wassalamu ala khatamin nabiyyin, amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Noorallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another inspiring and uplifting episode on the silsila Spiritual Cures. Wherever you are in the world, whatever season you are experiencing, whichever country or city that you are from, we hope that you and your family are safe and sound. A kind reminder that when you are making dua for yourself, your family and your community, then keep the ummah in your duas as well. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he grants relief to the ummah. He grants cure, shifa, to those who are sick, to those who are suffering from whatever type of ailment, and he grants protection against the oppressors. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, once again, we have some calls that we will play, inshallahul kareem, some questions as well. So stay tuned. Who knows, maybe these questions are also floating around in your mind. We will share some wada'if, some invocations, according to whatever questions will be asked. And it is really helpful if you have a diary or a notebook. Jot down the important Madani pearls, the wada'if, because we try to keep the wada'if and the invocations as sweet and short as possible, as simple as possible, primarily from the research of His Eminence, Amir Ahl-Sunnah Daman Barakatuhum Al-Aliya. And keep in mind, ink is the best memory. And capture knowledge by writing it down. You can use that book as a reference book. And maybe you're not going through the problem that's going to be discussed or asked. And maybe you know somebody. Or maybe in the future, you will be experiencing these difficulties. Then you can refer to your book, inshallahul kareem. The beloved master, the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam has said, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make some good intentions. Oh Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice, I will try to convey to others as well, insha Allahul Kareem. Time is fast, life is short. The past is gone and cannot be changed. The future is uncertain. What matters is the now, the present. So create that mindset. Remember, remember that if you change your mindset, you change everything. So create the mindset, especially for my benefit and those around me. That every day I need to reconnect to the glorious Qur'an. Read some amount of the Qur'an Sharif. Amir Ahl-Sunnah Daman Barakatuhum Al-Aliya advises us, start with 3 verses of the glorious Qur'an. And then read over the English translation from Kanzul Iman, the English commentary from Miftahul Ihsan. These are available, the material are available. This is done by Mufti Abdul Nabi Hamidi Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali. Allah grant him a high station in the hereafter. Like that, make the mindset every day I must read Durood-e Pak, Salawat, Istighfar. I need to make sincere Tawbah, renew, refresh my Iman. I make the zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Don't forget your du'as before eating, after eating, upon awakening, before sleeping, before you enter the washroom, upon exiting the washroom, when you're leaving the home, when you're entering the home, du'as, you know, subhanallah, it makes us more conscious. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And like that as well, do your best to abstain from sins, to be punctual with your daily salahs, perform them properly, fulfill rights of others, practice upon the sunnah, the injunctions of the glorious Quran, learn a sunnah for the day, learn a A dua for the day, learn something of deen for the day, and obey Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. They are great and enormous blessings for reciting salawat, durud-e-paak, salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful Master, the last Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The one who recites Salat ala Nabi salawat 1,000 times every day will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. If you say Subhanallah with the intention of dhikr, a tree is planted for you in Jannah. Likewise, if you say Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, O la ilaha illallah, trees are planted in paradise for you. So don't miss out. How simple, how easy. These are seconds we are talking about that it will take to recite these things. These things will help us, will benefit us in this world, in the grave, in the hereafter as well. Insha'Allahul Kareem. We will request our wonderful team to please go ahead with the first call. Sallu ala al-Habib. صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
Hope you're in the best of health, Muhammad Saab. Alhamdulillah, I find the show very informative and beneficial for the Ummah at large. I have had a question in my mind, which is, why is alcohol considered haram in Islam, even in small amounts? And how can we respond to a person who says, a little bit doesn't hurt?
Firstly, Jazakallahu khairah for the wonderful comments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this little effort of ours and grant us the reward of it as well, inshallahul kareem. Alcohol. How can a little bit not hurt? I can't fathom, I can't understand how a Muslim can say this. Maybe a person who's a disbeliever and they are used to that culture, but for a Muslim to say this, it reveals that the person hasn't learned, hasn't understood the consequences of a little or a lot of alcohol consumption. Whatever type of alcohol it is, it's going to affect a person, affect a person's mental ability. It has an intoxicating effect. You know, they say something. They say that every drunkard, euphemistically, they call them problem drinkers in some countries, but they are drunkards. Every drunkard was once a social drinker. Started off with one tot, with one, maybe a little bit. And then as the body gets some pleasure, some dopamine is released, that hormone, the pleasure hormone, and then that increases to one jug, one mug, and before you know it, the person is addicted. Now we need to look at number one on the list is that Islam prohibits it. The Quran, the Kalam of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu prohibits it. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibits it. The Sharia, the Islamic sacred law of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have forbidden it. That's the order, that's the command. And we are there not to question the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's who a Muslim is, one who submits to the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. That's a Muslim, that's a believer. What my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to do, I'm going to do my best to fulfill that order, whether it is to do something or to abstain from something. If you're going into the medical aspect of it, you just have to speak to doctors. You just have to do some cursory, you know, research, a little bit research. If you read on, you'll get to understand the adverse effects, the negative effects, the health implications of those who consume alcohol. Long-term effects and health implications are that the liver, the kidney, those end up getting weakened. There's heart problems, there's possible cancer, depending on the type of alcohol and how frequently the person uses it. For you and I, not even a sip, not even a drop should come near us. There's dental health problems, there's mental problems as well. A person may feel, and this is that culture in some places, that you know, when a person is worried, stressed out, tense, they try to drown their sorries and worries in the bottle. What happens? Those worries don't disappear. More worries accumulate. Because when a person is in a drunken state, they can end up beating their spouse, beating their children, getting involved in fights, landing in hospital, driving under the influence, taking innocent people's lives. The stats are there. A person ends up becoming dependent upon this. So understand, whatever Islam prohibits, it is because it is no good for the human being. Whether it's alcohol or drugs, whether it's the clubs and music and pubs, whether it's gambling, whether it's premarital relationships, all of it, including riba, usury, interest, all what is unhealthy for a human being's growth, medically, physically, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever is no good for us, Islam has prohibited. Now, you know, something else we need to understand is that alcohol is not just haram, it's haram plus it is najis. It is prohibited plus it is impure. Drugs as well, same category, haram and najis. Forbidden, prohibited, and it is impure, napak. And all those people that consume alcohol, all those people that take drugs, the vast majority of them, if not every one of them, is affected by jinn. Jinn is attracted to impurity. Jinn stays in the toilet area because that place is to do with impurity. It loves impurity. It's attracted to impurity. Now, if a person comes along and takes drugs or drinks alcohol, they are forcing impurity into the body, which is flowing within their blood vessels. So even spiritually as well, not just medically, as we touched on a few things, medically, psychologically, emotionally, the person becomes unstable, but spiritually as well, they become affected. And how does this happen? Could be because of the environment the person is in, bad associates or a bad company, so-called friends, which are actually bad friends. Any person that takes you away from the obedience to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can never be your friend. Impossible. So we need to cut our losses. They're dragging you down actually. A person would say, no, because of poverty. No, I mean, you're spending money. That person who drinks alcohol is, you know, maybe begging and then spending that money. Or maybe they're working, but they're spending that money to buy alcohol. Same money you can look after yourself and your family. You can pay your bills. You can buy food. But so many are unaware of the consequences. On one side, some people, they say poverty. It's not an excuse. On the other side, sometimes due to excessive wealth, the person doesn't know what to do with the money. Yes, on both sides. Person is who's poverty stricken, they feel like, you know what, okay, just drown the worries of my present condition in the bottle. And the person with excessive wealth as well can then get involved in drugs, in alcohol. How many famous, so-called famous people, celebrities, they've got the fame, they've got the wealth, and they have to go to rehab because of drug abuse, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, gambling, because they've got a hole and they try to fill it with the wrong things. A person may end up stealing from their home. You know, it's not a solution to your problems. This is the kind of advice we need to give to that person. It just creates more problems. It's a wastage of wealth. It's destroying your life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 195. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تلقوا بأيديكم إلى التهلكة. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And do not fall into ruin with your own hands. Drinking alcohol is doing just that. Ummul Mu'mineen, Sayyida Lady Ummu Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden everything that brings about intoxication and creates disturbance. And another blessed hadith, thought-provoking hadith, which is also a direct answer to the question that was posed, that the merciful Prophet ﷺ said, anything that causes intoxication when consumed in a high quantity is also haram forbidden in a small quantity. So always be in good company. Adopt pious company. Establish your salahs and make dua. If a person is inclined towards this evil, towards this filth of alcohol or drugs, make dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help remove those cravings. Think over these narrations that we just mentioned, that the glorious Quran is ordering us not to destroy ourselves with our own hands. Educate yourself on the negative impacts of alcohol or drugs. Recite Quran in abundance. Recite Durood-e Pak and Dhikrullah in abundance. If that evil thought enters the heart and mind, as soon as it enters, turn to your left side. We've shared this many a times. Turn to your left side and spit 3 times. Just a sound, with no saliva coming out. Just a sound, as if you are spitting on the face of Shaitan, the rejected one. And then recite, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. Inshallah al-Kareem, this evil thoughts will disappear from the heart. Please go ahead with the next call. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
I would like to know what usually distracts a person from staying committed to their goals, and how does one remind themselves of their long-term ambitions when like daily life becomes overwhelming or hard or tough and so forth?
MashaAllah, lovely question. Well, we are urged to create goals, to create a timetable, short, medium, long-term goals. But we must keep this in the back of our minds. Many have come before us who had lots of goals, lots of ideas, lots of dreams, and perhaps they may have started that journey towards fulfilling and attaining those goals. The angel of death arrived. Many, maybe they just put it down on a piece of paper that, you know what, this is my to-do list, what goals I have in my life. And before they even got to starting it, they were gone. And they no more. Who's going to continue in that direction and try to fulfill their dreams, their goals? So yes, goals you must put down. What I want to achieve in the next year, in the next 2 years, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years. But with this in mind, I can leave this world at any moment. So staying committed is to put down your goals, create a timetable with actionable steps. And you know, they say, okay, this is part of time management as well, to manage your time, that how you spend it for the day. So good time management leads to, or can lead to, a healthy, balanced lifestyle. You'll have reduced stress. And you can remind yourself, we need the reminders, because there's too many distractions out there, too many diversions. A person can get distracted when they're on social media, and with doom scrolling, doom surfing, one clip after the other, one short after the other, one video after the other, for entertainment purposes. An hour goes just like that. 2 hours go just like that. When we could have used that time to better ourselves, to develop ourselves. That's one thing you must never stop. Self-development. From the cradle to the grave. Keep learning. Keep reading. Keep researching. And let me tell you, Dawood Islami has all the material that you need. If you visit our bookstore, Maktabatul Madina, or if you visit our website, dawoodislami.net, you can download for free hundreds of books in English, many of which are translated into around 40 or over 40 different languages for the benefit of the Ummah. You can download for free. At least try to read or listen to the audio book that comes out weekly. So something very simple is to list down your goals, write it down, create a timetable for your week, your Monday to Sunday. And whatever it may be that you want to accomplish must revolve around the 5 daily salahs. Part of your goals must be, in fact, right at the top, I need to become a better Muslim. I need to become a more practical Muslim. I need to learn something of the deen, learn a sunnah or dua. And how to remind yourself? You can be innovative. Put it on your phone. Your phone has that reminder facility. Put it over there with the different timings. Okay, by this time, I need to remind myself to do this. Put it on your email. You're always checking your email on your phone or tablet or laptop. Have, write it out, stick it somewhere. For example, I seen this one, a sort of like a sticker, we can say, that some people put on their laptops. So it's, you can see it, but it does not distract you from watching the monitor or the screen. Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. Subhanallah. How we put a picture or poster or sticker of du'as before entering the toilet. What I must read? What must I read before entering upon exiting? Outside the toilet, we put it over there. That's like a reminder. So similarly, you can become, you know, creative to create reminders for yourself. This will help, inshallah, al-Kareem. May we please have the next call. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Hope you're keeping well, Maulana Sahab. Maulana, what are the consequences of not controlling one's anger? And holistically, is it good or bad? Because at times, it does get difficult to control one's anger.
Anger. So we need to learn anger management. How to control the anger. Look, anger is a... it's a natural emotion, and sometimes we need to get angry, starting with ourselves. Get angry over not reading salah. Get angry regarding the sins that I'm committing, or if I hurt somebody's feelings, if I violated somebody's rights, I need to become upset with myself. Don't just get upset, do something about it. You hurt somebody's feelings, go and apologize sincerely. Ask them for forgiveness. From committing sins, don't just get angry. These are the places to really get angry. Get angry at shaitan, but do something about it. Do something positive about it. And so this is how we can channel our anger outward towards something productive, something positive. Identify your triggers. What triggers you? What makes you just flip and become enraged? This is, if a person becomes enraged, often this is unhealthy for them. And ask yourself a question, is my anger helpful or not? Contemplate over the consequences. Before I release that bullet from my mouth, what are the consequences? Is it going to hurt the person, their feelings? Can it destroy my marriage? Is it going to create a distance between me and that person? Could be your spouse, could be your parents, could be your children or siblings, could be a customer, could be a co-worker. We need to learn emotional intelligence to control our emotions. Don't just act upon emotions, especially when you're angry, when you are in rage, in a fit. Rather, step away from the triggering situation. When you're angry, you are like pumped up. There's hormones flooded in your system. Experts say, go and do a quick workout. If you've got a punching bag, go and punch that bag. Don't use the person in front of you as a punching bag. I'm talking about, you know, go do a quick workout. Do breathing exercises to calm yourself down, to relax. Focus on the facts. Don't engage in ad hominem, meaning personal attacks. Attack the problem, not the person. Recite salawat and dhikrullah. This will help you to cool down and to calm down as well. There's a blessed hadith, the summary of which is, anger is from shaitan. And shaitan is made from fire. He was made from fire. He is part of the jinn, remember. And fire is extinguished with water. So, a person who is in that fit of anger and rage should step away, move away from the thing, from the person that is making them enraged. Go and make wudu. This is the advice of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you are going to also physically cool yourself down. Subhanallah. There's a lovely booklet called Cure for Anger. You can find some wada'if in there, which I will share in a few moments. And subhanallah azza wa jal, if you implement it sincerely, you will see its positive effects. Drink some water to also cool yourself down. Recite Ya Wadudu one time. With Durud Sharif once before and after, blow into some water, drink this. Or give it to the angry person to drink. Other wada'if include If a person indulges in sins due to anger, they should recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim 21 times after every Fard Salah and to dumb on themselves. When they are eating, recite the same 3 times, blow on the food, and 3 times, blow into the water. When you are walking, then occasionally recite Ya Allahu, Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu. Recite this. Also recite Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Recite this continuously. Recite the following ayah 7 times every day. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس والله يحب المحسنين.
Surah Ali Imran, verse 134. Try to practice upon this. Try to get the booklet. You can download it also for free from dawoodislami.net, or you can get the hard copy from Maktabatul Madina, our bookshop and publications department. On page 23, you will find around 13 cures for anger, simple and practical cures as well. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Jazakallah for blessing us with this beneficial knowledge. May Allah Ta'ala grant you all more. My question is, what are some of the ways in which a person can build their confidence?
Confidence. Building of confidence doesn't just happen. We need to work at it regularly. And even parents, guardians out there, help your kids to become confident as well. Be confident and proud to be Muslims. Practice your Islam. Don't hide it. Islam is the truth. And refine your character. This is one of the ways. Refinement of character. Refining your mannerisms. Refining your speech. Speak good. Use lovely words. Use fantastic words. So this is going to take a little bit of time. But if you started the process and you apply it, you learn, you apply for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really you will see differences. You will see positive results. Make sure to groom yourself. Dress nicely, neatly. Use itr, perfume. Focus also on dental hygiene. Think and act positively. Remove negative thoughts and negative people from your life. You don't need them. Be the positive motivator. That will also keep your mind positive, and you will motivate other people to become positive as well. Instead of being pessimistic and negative, focus on solutions. Be solutions driven. Be kind and generous. Uplift people by helping others. Really, the feeling you get is, you cannot explain. Whether by giving charity, whether by sharing your experiences, giving advice, or just simply being silent and just giving an ear, listening to the difficulties of the next person, and where possible, giving advice. So self-development is something that is not a once-off thing. It's a continuous thing where you are building yourself, building your reputation to increase your competency. You know what's also a very good way, a very healthy way, is to show shukr, gratitude for what you have. When last did I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ya Allah, we must talk to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Besides salah, besides dua, talk to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He is all hearing, all seeing, all knowing, all powerful. He knows what condition we are in. He knows the thoughts that are in our minds, in our hearts. He knows our intentions, what is in the inner recesses of our hearts. He knows it all. Talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Ya Allah, I thank you for these eyes you gave me. I'm able to see. These ears I'm able to hear. This tongue I'm able to speak. These limbs, hands, feet you gave to me, Ya Allah. I thank you, Ya Allah. I thank you for the family you gave me, for the spouse you gave me, the children you gave me, this job that you gave me, or this business that you gave me. I thank you for this home that you gave me, even if it's a one bedroom, small little apartment. I thank you for this roof that you have given me, this food that you have given me. From the bottom of your heart, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, how you will feel is
on another level. But remember, the best way to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Best way. So developing your confidence also entails eating healthy, working out. You're living a productive, proactive, active lifestyle. Get sufficient sleep. But you know, above all, we talked about obeying Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being the best way to thank Him azza wa jal. Be punctual in salahs. I tell you, if you're punctual with your salahs and you are performing it properly, am I performing properly? How do I know? Go to your local Sunni alim, Sunni qari, ask them to check your recitation, check your pronunciations of your tasbihat, tashahud, du'a qunut. You'll be surprised. And then when you correct the pronunciations, then memorize the translations. And when you're performing salah, keep your mind busy on whether I'm pronouncing every letter properly. Also focus at the same time, simultaneously, on the translation. Really, you will taste your ibadat. Your ibadat, you will really feel it. And if you're punctual with your 5 daily salahs, and you are lowering your gaze, you're protecting your gaze, you're doing your best to abstain from sins. And you're doing your best to practice the sunnah. Watch. Observe how your confidence levels skyrocket. Associate yourself with Dawat Islami. Dawat Islami is subhanAllah. It's a support structure. It's there to educate us, to empower us with authentic Islamic knowledge. And there's constant motivation, there's constant reminders as well which we need. By doing these things, inshallah al-kareem, it will help to develop yourself and to be more confident. Please go ahead with the next call. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
My question for today is, how can one use their time more wisely to accomplish their work for the day? Because many complain they do not have time and time is too short. Please do advise us on this.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. And this is going to be about time management actually. The scholars of the past, the pious predecessors, they had the same 24 hours that we have, but there was more blessings in their time. They accomplished, many of them accomplished so much more than we can even dream of. Let me give you one example. Al-Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, the scholar of Sharia, the destroyer of Bid'ah, the great Mujaddid and reviver of Islam. Do you know how many books he wrote? 1,000 books. You know, Fatawa Razviya, which is his magnum opus, his masterpiece, which is an encyclopedia of Hanafi fiqh, jurisprudence. It's over 30 volumes, spanning around 22,000 pages. He was a master, an expert in so many different sciences, not just Islamic sciences, but things like physics and mathematics. He was a master in the different categories of mathematics, trigonometry, geography, Allahu Akbar, and so many others as well. So where did they get the time? They also were with public, they would advise public, they would use their time wisely. They had a jadwal, they had a schedule, a timetable. So make a timetable for proper, efficient time management. Create a timetable. By doing this, By focusing on proper time management, you know, you can reduce your stress, you can increase your energy levels, you can achieve your goals more efficiently, you will prioritize what is important, you will accomplish more in less time, you will reduce procrastination, you will boost your confidence, you will get further in your career, further in your education, subhanAllah azza wa jal. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, warned us actually, ni'matani maghboonun feehima kathirun minan nas, as-sihhatu wal-faragh. There are two blessings that many people are in deception about. Health, conduct a time audit. Start by assessing where you actually spend your time, on what activities you dedicate how much of time, and then you can prioritize tasks. because disorganization leads to poor time management. Break down your goals into achievable, attainable, actionable steps. If you are studying, if you have some project assignment, whether for work, college, school, university, jami'a, madrasa, break it down. Especially if it's something that's like a major task to do, something big, break it down into smaller actionable steps. Use this technique, they call it the Pomodoro technique, meaning full focus for around 25 minutes, no distractions, no devices on what you are doing. At least 25 minutes, and then you take a 5-minute break. Leave your desk, take a walk, breathe, do some breathing exercises, drink some water, read Durud-e Pak, Dhikrullah, then you come back. Another 25 minutes, minimum, 25 to 30 minutes, full focus and concentration on what you are doing. Then again, a 5-minute break. Come back for 25 minutes, 5-minute break. To read like this, inshallah al-Kareem, you will see more positive results. You know, procrastination is the thief of time, as they say. Create the mindset that I need to get up and just get it done. And remember, punctuality is the key to productive performance. Set specific time limits for each task. One task at a time. If you have authority and if you have or subordinates or others in your department, you can delegate duties. Break the big task into smaller tasks and they will be able to assist you in accomplishing that more easily, inshallah al-Kareem. Stay refreshed by establishing your salahs and subhanallah azza wa jal, of course, eat healthy, work out, lead an active life. But you can really stay refreshed by establishing your salahs. This will help you also to focus. Salahs also, you know, it's mentioned that it's true that the knots of destiny are not opened with the nails of planning. But you must plan and leave that destiny to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of both destiny and planning as well. Until next time, keep safe and keep watching Madani channel. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
May Allah heal you from whatever pain you are suffering from. May Allah heal you from whatever pain.